Okay, ready? I'll call the Board of Directors Public Engagement Committee to order. Roll call, please.
On the roll for the Public Engagement Committee meeting of April 2nd, 2018, Director Barrett.
Here.
Director Canepa.
Here.
Director Haggerty.
Here.
Director Kim. Director Nis. Director Miley. Director Ross.
Here.
Director Sanchez. Director Sparing. Committee Vice Chair Kaplan.
Here.
Committee Chair Wagon Connect.
Here.
Board Chair Hudson.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Good. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I think we overbooked this meeting, so we're gonna make sure we get to we're gonna get to item six and then and not worry about the other items this meeting. We'll do those on our next meeting. Approval of minutes of September 25th, 2017.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
I got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? That passes unanimously. Number three, approval of contract for Spare the Air advertising and messaging campaigns. Mr. Broadbent, if you want, oh, Lisa.
Good morning, Chair Wagon Connect, and members of Public Engagement Committee. Christine Rosellis this morning will present to you our process for selecting a contractor for the Spare the Air advertising campaign.
Thank you.
Good morning, Director Wagon Connect and members of the Public Engagement Committee. Today, I'll provide an overview of our recent request for proposal process, as well as our contractor recommendation for the Spare the Air advertising and messaging campaigns. The RFP was released on February 6th and was posted for 3 weeks. The proposals we requested are for Spare the Air and Winter Spare the Air campaigns, as well as the employer program. The services necessary for these campaigns include advertising, media relations, social media, employer outreach, and public opinion surveys. We received 13 proposals from the firms you see here. Four firms were selected for interviews, and they are in bold here. Air District staff with expertise in advertising, media relations, outreach, and social media reviewed and scored each proposal. Proposals were evaluated for their technical expertise, their related skill and experience of the team, how they approached their proposal, as well as cost considerations. Finally, proposals received points for their references and if they were a local or green business. Here you can see each of the four firms' proposal and interview scores. Prozeo Communications received the highest combined score of the four bidders that we interviewed. As a result, we recommend approval of Prozeo Communications as the contractor for the Spare the Air campaigns. And I just want to take this moment to introduce Lori Prozeo, who's behind me in the beautiful orange scarf here. She did a tremendous interview, and they have great energy on their team. The proposal was strategy-driven and showed an excellent understanding of the behavior change that we're looking for in a campaign. The firm has a fresh perspective on the campaign and a proposed very innovative strategies for reaching Spare the Air campaign goals. They are an experienced social marketing, public relations, and advertising firm with extensive government and air quality experience in the Bay Area and throughout California. They have been working with the Sacramento Air District Spare the Air program for more than a decade. I should note that we received a glowing recommendation from the Sacramento Air District Communications Director. They've also worked with the City of Berkeley and Marin County, as well as numerous state agencies. As a result of the RFP process and evaluation, staff is recommending board approval of Prozeo Communications for the following advertising, communications, and evaluations services contract. Here you see the annual Spare the Air Everyday Campaign and Employer Program contract breakdown. And here you see the breakdown of the winter Spare the Air campaign. For fiscal years ending in 2019 and 2020, the contract shall not exceed $1,950,000 for each year. Please note that on the third year of the campaign, it includes an in-language winter Spare the Air survey. Due to the expense of this survey, our survey firm has recommended that we do this survey once every 3 years. So for the third year of the campaign, the contract shall not exceed $2,019,000. This concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Good. I have Director Haggerty.
Thank you. I almost hate to ask this question after that extremely glowing report, but I will. The evaluations, the part where it seems to be the proposal aspect of it is really kind of what I consider black and white. O'Rourke scored higher. It appears to be like, based on what I can see, 8 points higher. The subjective part, they scored 10 points lower. Can you explain that to me? Because, you know, we didn't have anybody from the outside on the panel. It was just three people from within the department, as I can see. So to me, it seems like it's kind of subjective. So I'm just kind of curious how that, you know, shakes out here.
Well, I think what really resonated with the evaluators was the innovative advertising approach. It was geo-targeted. It worked together synergistically. And just the energy of the team that came together. They are a full-service advertising and communications
firm. I'm referring more to the proposal. I mean, the proposal scored higher. And that, like I said, is not subjective. That is pretty much cut and dry. Why did the proposal score higher? Why aren't we going with the higher scoring proposal?
We combined the scores. Both when we look at both the proposal and the interviews, they are scored equally, and that is how it came out. It was very close.
And Chair Haggerty, I'd like to add that this is the way we've conducted the scoring for the Spare the Air campaigns for the past 10 years. This is the way we've done it. We've looked at both the proposal score and the interview score.
So what, okay, so if we look at, this is helpful having this up, where, tell me where O'Rourke scored higher. Where did the, what made their proposal higher than Proceo's or salaries?
In your packet, you have a bit of a breakdown, and I don't have the
full
breakdown.
Yeah, and I'm sorry,
breakdown.
My iPad decided to go on update.
Okay.
I'm sitting here doing an update right now, so I apologize.
You know, they were very close. I think with the O'Rourke proposal, it was very solid. We saw a very solid proposal. We didn't see any new or innovative approaches from that proposal. So while it was very good and Prozio's was very good, I think that it was elaborated more.
Well, no, I get all that. I'm hearing that. I'm asking a specific question. So O'Rourke scored 5 points higher on the proposal. What were the 5 points higher? What was it? Was it technical expertise? I mean, I'm looking at the evaluation.
We can get that information for you. I don't have it in front of me.
I'd like to have the information before it, because I'd like to know if it's cost.
The costs were very similar.
Okay. I'm not going to vote on we can get the information later. I'm sorry.
What I can tell you is the costs were very, very similar. That O'Rourke received some extra points because they are a local business with green practices. In the interview, the approaches were expanded upon, and the evaluators were more open to what Prozio was proposing. It was more...
I'm not questioning that part. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I hear about the... I'm really not questioning the energy part of it. I'm saying in the proposal, that's a cut and dry. There's, you know, you get 30%, 20%. You know, you get all these percentages. That's cut and dry. And I'm just trying to figure out where O'Rourke got the additional 5%.
So part of that would be the 5% in the local.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we don't know that. You're now feeding them the answers.
That is true, actually. What he said is true.
We are going to get the scores, and we're pulling those down now. But what I would say is that it's clear that O'Rourke has run the campaign for several years, and their proposal reflected the fact that they're very well aware of our campaign, what we've done, because they've run it. So it scores a bit higher just because they have that background knowledge. Prozio came in with a new campaign, a fresh approach. They actually looked at a lot of what we are doing now, and they had recommendations or second suggestions on how they might improve on it. That was in their own proposal. And then when they gave their interview, there was a lot more that they provided in their interview that kind of expanded on their thinking on that. The other thing that I would say is that we had two within the program and one from outside the communications office who are on the interview panel. So it wasn't just the communications office. We had the admin services director on as well.
We can wait for that. You're bringing that.
Yes. Yes, we're running to get it now.
If you're willing to wait for that, I'll move on.
You can move on.
Okay. Director Kaplan.
So now we're going to ask very long questions while they go and fetch the data.
No, you don't need to filibuster.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you very much for this. I want to say I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk about our advertising and outreach because while in the last years we've had some dispute about the limits of our authority to regulate, there are not legal limits to our authority to influence behavior change through outreach and advertising, and I think it actually can be a very effective way to influence behavior change. So I'm excited for us to be working to do more of it. A couple of questions on it. One is this package intended to connect the advertising directly to taking action? And by that, what I mean is, you know, we have certain things that are static and non-interactive, right? Like a banner hanging on the Bay Bridge that says, you should spare the air. But then there's also strategies that more directly link, like a web ad for a particular program, whether it's carpooling or fireplace replacement or something that you can click on that then takes you directly to where you apply for the rebate or get carpool matched. And so in terms of thinking about what it is we could do more of, I'm particularly interested in the sort of outreach that connects people directly to an action, and I'm curious to what extent that's part of this plan.
Well, I'm really glad you asked that. Prozio, one of the things that really caught our attention was their smart advertising and smart outdoor advertising. We do a lot of outdoor advertising, and what it does is there are GPS coordinates that, so let's say you drive by the sign, you've got your phone with you, it knows you've been there. You go home and you're on your phone looking at the news. It can tell you went by that sign and you will see an ad then for a wood smoke rebate or something about winter spare the air. So that helps you take that action, and it helps with repetitiveness that is so important in advertising.
Awesome. We are Big Brother. Okay. Well, no, we are Big Sister, yes, and no election rigging here, please. And then also I noticed that we put the in-language option surveys in the third year of a three-year contract. And given that that's a fixed dollar amount, it seems it could perfectly well be spent at any stage in the contract. And I would like us to consider doing it sooner so that the results from it could be utilized. Otherwise, we're not having any feedback from it in time to be used during the timeline of this contract. And so, unless there's some particular reason that it has to be later, my suggestion would be that it be sooner in the hopes that then what we gain from that then gets fed into then the continued outreach efforts.
that year.
Thank you for that. We can definitely talk to our survey contractor about that.
Director Canepa.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I have several questions. Who was our past vendor? Who did we use before?
O'Rourke Communications.
So we used O'Rourke Communications. And what was the amount of the contract?
Same amount as we're proposing here.
Same amount. And so let me understand this. I need to, you know, have greater depth on this. So you scored them, as you know, Director Haggerty had mentioned, you scored them one way based on their proposal.
Correct.
And then they came in. I guess they knocked your socks off, right?
Yes.
And you had mentioned earlier, you talked about the reason that you went with them is because of their, is it geolocation? Was that one of the?
That was one of the things, yes. And just the energy and the synergy of the team, you can really tell how they work well together. O'Rourke brought in some new members on their team, and we just weren't seeing that. But mostly it was just the new ideas that we had.
You know, and one of the other things, I'm trying to find the slide here. It says proposals, if you wouldn't mind going to me, page 2. It says, and I just want to make sure we're all in alignment here. I'm just reading from your, it said proposals were reviewed by communications officer. I'm assuming that's you, Lisa, right?
Yes.
Communications manager and public information officer.
That is correct. We reviewed the proposals, and the interview panel consisted of myself, the communications manager, our public information officer, and our director of administrative services, Maricela.
And just so I'm clear, you were the decision makers on that.
Well, we scored the interviews just as we scored the interviews for the proposals, and then the scores were added up, and you see the results here today.
Now, is that that's what you said, Lisa? Is that correct? I thought you said you went outside.
We brought in the director of admin services, so that was outside of our division to help score.
Okay, so outside.
And to help interview.
The reason there was a little confusion is I thought when you said you went outside, there was someone outside the agency. I know when we do, you know, we do different things, whether it's county manager, you know, there's a panel of people who are outside of that. But so it was all done internally.
It was within the organization, but it was outside the communications office. We brought someone in outside the communications office to help us with the project.
Okay. And so this is a pretty significant contract. Final question here. And you had a 3-year term with O'Riordan?
O'Rourke.
Mm-hmm. 3-year term. So there must have been a little bit, were you completely happy with O'Rourke? And I mean, I just want to try to understand why we're changing vendors here.
I just want to be clear. It has been my great pleasure to work with O'Rourke for the past decade that I've been at the Air District. The success of this campaign is due in no small part to their efforts. However, I think we were really, what really resonated with us were some new approaches, some new technology that was being utilized, and really getting that action and behavior change really moving the needle. And we felt that Prozio's interview, when they spoke about this in detail, we felt that this would do it more.
All right, thank you.
Director Kim, did you?
Right, thank you. Yeah, this is a big contract, a good process. I'm generally supportive of what staff has put together. So it's interesting. When you've had O'Rourke here in place, I think the district has upped its game. The banner above the Yerba Buena tunnel says wood smoke fires or secondhand smoke. That catches everyone's eye. And that's an example of the improved marketing. But that, I'm a dummy. That's like old school, just more advertising. I think the digital presence has been better. But I think it is interesting when someone like me thinks we've upped our game to have the experts say that it's good, it's really good, but we think we can do better. Yeah. It's all of that more sophisticated marketing that is that big brother thing we're talking about. That's what people like me don't know about.
Yeah.
And so when they come in and it's tell you things that we don't know, I'm supportive of having smarter people than me come in and elevate our game. And but I think what's interesting about what was said before is, regardless of how you look at the scoring of all this, the process was set up so that the interview was 100 points, just like the proposal. The one thing I'm always leery about in interviews is you can be a slick salesman and just kill it in an interview. What I liked hearing was that you had a chance to talk to another Air District who said they're not just good salespeople, they walk the walk. And so I'm comfortable with your proposal.
Thank you.
Director Roth.
Thank you, Chair Wagenknecht. The it is to follow up on the previous colleague's comments. We've worked with O'Rourke, and we've gotten to a good point, and I like them, but that's my interaction with them is irrelevant, really. I mean, it's how they've interacted with staff and the public, and they have brought us up to the game. So for us to change a vendor that has gotten us to point A, and we want to go beyond that, there must be something, and I understand perhaps the team has changed at O'Rourke, and you didn't feel comfortable that they have gelled yet and could provide at least, at the very least, the same service that you're seeking. You know, that we've enjoyed the same service level, but something at Presorio caught your eye, and you called on a reference, and they verified it. So it has to be more than just geolocations and AI and data mining. There must have been some actual effect or something that really excites you to take a good vendor and up the game. And I know it's always tough. There's always favorites, and these are people that you're dealing with, and you have to say, hey, you didn't cut it. I'm in a cutthroat business in real estate. Hey, great presentation, Mark, but we're going with the person who's charging 2% less than you. Okay, whatever. So I get that. But people want, and I find that I'm getting booted because, we've got more marketing on the internet. So what catches your eye? What specifically, how do you see that? Or did the committee, how did they see what angle they're going to take other than geolocation through the internet?
Director Ross, if I could just jump in here.
Sure.
You know, one of the things that Prozio offered was kind of a fresh look at our campaign. We've been running the Spare the Air campaign the way it's been going for 10 years now. And it's really been driven by O'Rourke's ideas and kind of the subs that they've brought in and the direction that they have led us in. And it has been successful, but we have been looking for a way to sort of change it up and make it fresher, get it updated, if you will. And what O'Rourke brought in, both in their proposal and in their presentation, was very much the same of what we've been doing. What Prozio brought in the interview, and they expanded on that, was that this is they're looking at this in a very much new direction. They're looking at new information, they're looking at new data, and what we're going to build out for a new campaign will be something different than what we currently have. And we felt that it was time for us to sort of take a shift and look at how we're going to change the campaign to move it forward for the next, 3 to 5 years.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Thank you.
Director Haggerty. You've got to your information.
I'm struggling to read this question.
I know. I was too, but no.
This doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't explain what each of those A2 and A, skill and. That's all the interview questions.
It's just the A categories are everything that was in the proposal, and the B categories are everything that was in the interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, what does jump out at me is where first of all, I'm assuming what we're approving is a higher cost product because and I'm sorry, how do you say the name of the company?
Prozio.
Prozio.
Prozio Communications.
Prozio's points are higher under cost, so I'm assuming their cost is a little bit more expensive. And I'm also assuming that Big Wave and Creative Digital were probably much lower because their points are much lower. Is that a good assumption?
No, they actually get more points for being less expensive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes sense. It's Monday. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. And conversely, you gave a lot of points under references. references carried a lot of weight.
1/10 of 1/3 of 1 point.
Difference.
5 points.
I don't know. I'm being handed this and trying to digest it really quick. And
it's 1/3 of a point difference between Aurora and Perseus on references.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need to belabor this.
Okay.
I mean, if you guys are comfortable, you can move forward. I'm probably not going to vote.
Director
for it.
Kaplan.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like probably it would be okay with either, but it seems like there's been a process and there's been discussion, so I would go ahead and move the staff recommendation and just encourage, though sadly I won't be on this committee, but to have reports come back to this committee about what they're doing and how it's going, because the reality is no matter who we hire, the question of how effective it'll be will depend somewhat on the implementation and follow-through. And I'd like to include in my motion a request to move the language-specific outreach earlier in the process so that feedback from it can be incorporated.
I'll second that.
Okay, I've got a motion to second you.
Sure. I did a little research. So this is, and I don't know if the vendor's here, so this is a 100% woman-owned business. Is that correct? Correct. And so
correct.
When we make this decision, one of the things I was thinking about, so we were in a 10-year agreement, correct, with O'Rourke?
Well, we had 3-year contracts, and the 10 years Lisa is referencing are the 10 years we've both been at the Air District, but we've worked with O'Rourke in one capacity or another through the past 10 years. They had the last 3-year contract for this.
And so I would assume, Lisa, what I would assume from your level is that, look, we've worked with them for a period of years, and maybe it's time to take, you know, take a new vendor on, maybe new ideas. Is that a sort of a fair assumption?
That's correct.
And turn it back on, Dave. If I can, Mr. Chairman, also Director Canepa,
yeah.
And I took a look at this also and thought it made a lot of sense for us to think about using, a different contractor, because I too have been here nearly 15 years and we've relied on O'Rourke in different aspects of this program since that entire time, and really as Lisa mentioned, the success of this program is in part due to O'Rourke's kind of thinking and out-of-the-box kind of thinking, but it's probably time for us to maybe think about venturing out a little bit, a little different. I did want to make sure Director Haggerty and others know that O'Rourke is still going to be relied on for other projects, and you'll be hearing about them here very soon. I just know that you probably have a level of comfort with their thinking as well. That's probably in part just my thinking.
I just want to be clear. You could have had no names, and I would still be asking the same questions. This is not about O'Rourke.
Okay.
Okay, I want to be clear.
Okay. Well,
Have had the same concerns.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to let you finish. I'm going to let him ask his questions, and I'm going to make a comment.
Okay, I guess let me clarify. That's where I was coming from the standpoint of this was my team recommending a deviation, a change. Yeah. And so in taking a look at all of this, I felt particularly comfortable. But also, you're going to be hearing about a conference coming up in September. We're going to be supporting where we're relying on O'Rourke, and also a conference next year as well. So I just want to let you all know that we're not making a clean break here, much as you might think.
Question, Lisa. In terms of the terms of the contract, the agreement, once we enter on the agreement, say if they're not performing the work or the services that they said they were going to do, what do we have in terms of that agreement to protect us?
We have the option. It's a 1-year contract that can be renewed up to 3 years. And so we will look at that each year and make sure that they're performing. And we go through a screening process to make sure that the new contractor is performing up to the expectations. And we've done that before, so we will continue to do that. And if it doesn't work out, we can go through a process of switching out the contract for new contractors, and we have done that in the past as well.
Chair Hudson, you had a comment?
Yeah, actually a couple questions. One, I wish that on the motion that we had not added in that we move the survey up to the first year. I mean, I'm fine that, that staff has to determine when we do it. I mean, it would be enough to almost, if I had a vote, I do have a vote,
yes,
to say
did.
No. The other thing is I was looking at the press.
She didn't ask to have it moved up to the first year, just
To consider?
Early,
oh,
earlier.
Then you're, then that, I told you she was smart.
Yeah.
the reality is I'm looking at what must have been going through the minds of the people that are trying to make the decision on this, and I'm wondering, are people thinking ahead? We've talked about maybe extending Spare the Air. Are they going to be part of this program if we go out to the people and try and explain, you know, why we called Spare the Air on Thanksgiving and Christmas and now have to call it on Easter or something? They will be part of this if we go forward and...
Absolutely. They'll be part of that as the board and staff decide to expand the program or just expand the messaging. But we have been messaging in that vein for years, just because the way that, you know, the weather changes and weather drives everything with air quality, it has caused us to have to call Spare the Air in, you know, early April and call winter Spare the Air alerts in October. So that's occurred, and we'll continue with that.
Director Haggerty,
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I originally, my thought is to vote against this, but I'm not going to vote against a woman-owned business. So, I mean, over a few petty points here. So that's not going to happen. So I'll be supporting the motion, but I am going to say this, and maybe it's just, I'm starting to feel like it's just my county that does this, but, and this has nothing to do with staff. I have the total trust in the staff that is standing before me and sitting before me at all levels, okay? So this is nothing to do with it. But when my staff does something like this, we always have somebody from the outside sitting on it, from another county or another city or another public works department, even a city public works department, but there's always somebody else there that is not from the same department. And I would suggest we start doing that, because this happens too much, and it just is a good practice, because some could say, pretty much based on, I'm not saying you did this, but if I was sitting in the audience today, some could say they came to the table thinking they wanted to make a change anyways, and that leads to a poor process. So if you had somebody from sitting from the outside, that would only help your, you know, you to be able to say, no, we did not. And I don't think you actually did that. I think you maybe felt like, you know, you felt new energy come in, and maybe that got you thinking. But there's people that could say you wanted to make a change. So I just think it's helpful to do that in the future. And Jack, you may want to consider that as you approach RFPs at all level.
No, it's a great idea. That's okay.
At this point, we've got a motion, and the motion is a slight revision to the, and it's to consider doing the survey earlier. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? That passes unanimously. Let's move on to item number 4. Authorization to execute contract amendments for Spare the Air program website development. And Ms. Fasano.
Good morning again, Chair Wagon Connect and members of the Public Engagement Committee. This morning, I will be give you an overview of the recommended contract amendment for the Spare the Air website development. Can you go to the next slide? The Air District relies on contractors to assist with website development, upgrades, and support. After a previous RFP process, Silogy was chosen as the Air District's website contractor and provides website maintenance and support. The contract amendment we are requesting today would allow for site enhancements, language translation, improved functionality, and improved user experiences on the Spare the Air website. We're requesting a $100,000 contract amendment with Silogy for website development upgrades. This work will be integrated into the Spare the Air website redesign, which is expected in early 2019. The communications office provides Spare the Air alerts to the public through the web, phone, email, and text alerts, among other methods. We are able to provide these alerts with assistance from the Air District's web team and contractor. With the approval of this amendment, Silogy would be able to enhance this service by linking our text alerts to other alerts on the Spare the Air and Air District websites for quicker, consistent, and more efficient notice to the public. Upon approval, we can begin translating the Spare the Air website content into five languages: English, Spanish, Chinese, Vietnamese, Tagalog, and Silogy can help us provide short links for our social media, printed materials, and websites. Staff is recommending Board of Directors approval for contract amendment with Silogy for website development and management not to exceed $100,000 through December 31st of 2018. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Director Kaplan.
Thank you very much. Just two questions. One, it sounds like a very short time period. You're saying the contract, did I misunderstand? The contract is just for a few months?
It's through the end of the calendar year. The contract is renewed at the beginning of the calendar year, so this will get us through the end of the calendar year. And since we're in the middle of the website redesign and making enhancements, it's a good time for us to contribute to the contract so we can continue to move that work forward.
Is this a company that's already working with us, or this is a new?
This is a company that has been working with the web development team for years now, and they went through an RFP process back in 2014.
To do this, and then this was a contract for this specific add-on work.
This is work that we have been working with them on, and we're now contributing to it. So they had been doing this without us contributing to it. Now we will be contributing.
And so after the time period of this specific funding agreement ends, they will still be working for us?
They will be still working with the web team, and we will work with the web team to determine if we need to continue to contribute funds to the overall process and development of the web product, the
okay.
Spare the Air site.
And just to be clear, the reason I ask this is that, you know, lots of government agencies have had incredible difficulty when a tech consultant is brought in for a short period of time, sets something up, and then leaves, and then there's glitches and problems and difficulty implementing.
No, they've been on a long-term contract, and we'll continue to work with the Air District on the Air District's website and work on the Spare the Air site.
So if after their few months on this, there's additional questions or concerns about this, they will still be around to deal with it?
Yes, they have a much larger contract with the Air District. This is the communications office contribution to that larger
okay.
effort.
Great.
That's part of the thing that's going on. It's two different.
Is we're trying to coordinate it. Yeah. And then
yes.
My last question is, to what extent does this project coordinate with the one we just finished discussing? It's the public. So that's public outreach and public advertising, but this, it would seem that you would want them to integrate in some way, right? Because the advertising should drive people to
yes.
the site, and they should be compatible messaging. So I'm just curious how that is
yes.
intended.
So that's part of what we're building out in the new Spare the Air website, and we'll be working very closely with the contractor to tie those things in so that as people are driven to the website or driven to actions, they can be driven to the Spare the Air website. Right now, the Spare the Air website has been around for
mm-hmm.
8 years. It's getting a bit old, and so we really need to update it and make it and refresh it. That project was beginning before we took the RFP process in place to do a website contractor. I mean, excuse me, advertising contractor. But we will be linking the two because we certainly want to have the advertising contractor be working to get people to our Spare the Air website.
Great, thank you,
Director Kim.
Thank you. So when you see an amendment to a contract, you say to yourself, we need to have something done that we didn't need to, that we didn't know we needed before. So to be clear, is the $100,000 to do those things that are bulleted at the bottom of your staff report, enhance the text alert system for alerts, all those things?
So the web team has been supporting the communications office now for a couple of years as we've been adding these new technology pieces as they've come on board. We have not been contributing to that, and we need to contribute to that. And now that we're in the process of redoing the website, it makes sense for us to contribute an amount to help support those efforts that deal directly with the communications aspect of what we're doing.
So were they not going to do those things if you didn't contribute?
they were going to do those things, but it's important for us to put money into this as well. The funding stream is what's at issue here, and so we needed to be able to contribute money in. By contributing, our items can be on par or take the same level of precedence as the other items that are coming before the contractor, whereas previously they would be working on just the Air District website options or issues first, and then when the Spare the Air needed something, that would come in after the fact. This puts us on equal footing when we make these requests.
Okay, so the website and its outreach would be enhanced because of this extra contribution?
We're in the process of redesigning the website right now, so it will be enhanced over the long term, yes.
Okay.
Director Ross.
Thank you. Just by chance, yesterday I went on the website to answer a complaint. There's a citizen, and I gave Wayne the information. They couldn't find the number, and I thought, I had to go to the website because I couldn't remember whether it was 888. 334-ODOR or 800-334-ODOR. And I'll tell you, I said, this is kind of clunky. Mm-hmm. It was wordy and clunky. I like information, but even that. So anyway, I look forward to seeing a more refined, mobile-friendly version.
Yes.
On the website.
Yeah, the website has been around for quite some time, and technology improves fast, and our updating the system doesn't happen as quickly. So we're going through that now. Syllogy is helping us with that process.
Good. Thank you.
Mobile-friendly is important these days. At this point,
so moved.
I've got a motion.
I'll second it.
I got a second. Well, we've... All those in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed? That was the staff recommendation. Thank you. Moving on to item five, selection of contractor to facilitate Spare the Air resource teams.
Good morning, Chair Wagon Connect and members of the Public Engagement Committee.
Good
My name is Christina Chu. I am a Senior Public Information Officer here in the Community Engagement Office. I'm here with Kristen Law, our Community Engagement Specialist, and we're here to present on the selection of a contractor to facilitate the Air District's Spare the Air resource teams.
Okay.
Just a little background, the Spare the Air resource teams were created in 1991 in conjunction with the Spare the Air program. There are currently 9 Spare the Air resource teams around the entire Bay Area. The teams are composed of business and civic environmental groups tasked to create and implement local projects that reduce air pollution on a local level. The Air District works with a contractor who assists with the facilitation of team meetings, coordinates team projects, and helps to recruit team members. The Spare the Air resource teams have created and worked on a variety of projects over many years. I would like to call out the Idle Free Bay Area project that originated in Tri-Valley, however, has expanded to Contra Costa County, and in particular, the Pittsburgh Unified School District was the first school in the East Bay to go Idle Free. This is just a snapshot of some of the resource team projects over the years. I'm going to hand it over to Kristen, who is going to provide you with an overview of our RFP process.
Good morning. So this is a high-level overview of our process and timeline. So the RFP was issued in December, and it closed at the end of January. We held a bidders conference somewhere in between there. It was well-attended, and all of the questions and our responses to those questions were posted publicly. So then, like Christina said, the contractor is being asked to assist with administration, coordination, recruitment, retention, and facilitation of all of the resource teams. It's a one-year contract with the potential for 2 one-year extensions, and that will be based on performance and quarterly reports as well as an annual report. Some new additions to this current RFP that we're really excited about is that the resource teams are going to be required to submit a collaboratively developed year-long action plan that follows what's called the spectrum of prevention. So the spectrum of prevention is a framework that's often used in public health to help with comprehensive program planning and implementation. And it includes 6 levels for strategy development. Each level is complementary with the rest, so it's not, you know, a linear process. When used together, it results in greater impact. And so the levels move from one end of the spectrum being things like education and awareness campaigns, all the way up to changes in organizational practices and local policy. And the purpose for using a framework like this with the resource teams is to help them move from education awareness campaigns to really having greater impact in their communities. And historically, most of the resource teams have focused on transportation, and same, you know, moving forward with opportunities to expand beyond transportation if they choose. Next slide, please. Oh, it's right here in front of me. Oops. So we received four proposals, and we comprised a panel, a review panel of three staff, two from within community engagement, one from our planning division, and we evaluated these bids based on their expertise, experience, their approach, cost effectiveness, their outreach plan, so we're looking to diversify the membership of the teams, and whether they were local and green businesses, so that's the specialty and focus area. So specifically, we are looking for agencies that had experience fostering community engagement and partnerships to influence behavior change at the community level. So we were looking for stated experience in building and maintaining teams of diverse stakeholders to collectively develop and implement collaborative local environmental protection and/or air pollution reduction programs. So bidders were expected to demonstrate the ability to foster innovative ideas and collective action among team members. Here is an overview of the final scores, the maximum points possible, and then the points that the review panel gave to each of the bidders. And as you can see, two of them came very, very close. Yeah. Community Focus, who has been working with the resource team since their inception, and Kearns and West. And so we took this as an opportunity to be innovative and explore ways that we could possibly fund both and really leverage the experience of both of the firms. And working within our review panel as well as a team, a community engagement team, we are proposing that Community Focus be responsible for continuing to work with the resource teams that they have been working with, the ones that are already established throughout the community, and then bringing Kearns and West in to be responsible for starting a new resource team in Marin County, where over the years we have received quite a bit of interest from the public in Marin County. I'm going to hand it back over to Christina.
So staff recommends the approval of the selection of Community Focus to facilitate the existing Spirit of the Year resource teams. Stephanie Anderson with Community Focus is currently here today. We also recommend the approval of the selection of Kearns and West to establish a Spirit of the Year resource team in Marin County. Ben Gettleman with Kearns and West is here as well. And to authorize the executive officer to execute a contract with Community Focus for facilitation services in an amount not to exceed $222,000 per contract year for up to 3 years, and to authorize the executive officer to execute a contract with Kearns and West to create a new Spare the Air resource team in Marin County in an amount not to exceed $38,000 per contract year for up to 3 years. This concludes our presentation, and we welcome any questions. Thank you.
Questions from the board. I have worked with the team in my neighborhood, and I've found it to be very worthwhile. So I'm happy that you've come up with a way to take the best of both worlds. Other questions?
No, I'll move the item.
I've got a motion. Second. And I've got a second on this item to the staff report. The staff recommendation. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll move on to number six, accept the appropriate funds and appropriate funds from two state community climate investment grants for supporting community engagement efforts in Alameda County.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Wagon Connect and members of the committee. My name is David Ralston, Community Engagement Manager. I am pleased to present this item to accept and appropriate funds for two state community climate investment grants for supporting community engagement efforts in Alameda County. Let me be clear that these are outside reimbursable grants that are coming into the AIR district. They're reimbursable grants, so we would appropriate funds to start these activities. First, I'm going to just give a little bit of background on these two grants, and then background on the process, and I'll talk a little high level about the grants for your own information. So staff from community engagement has been working with our various local stakeholders, really trying to build more partnerships with Strategic Growth Council and the folks in Sacramento who are giving out the greenhouse gas reduction funds, and trying to find ways to support local projects that have co-benefits for greenhouse gas reduction as well as local health impacts. There was an opportunity based in work that had been done in East Oakland around the San Leandro Creek Greenway project to go after state California Natural Resource Urban Greening funding. We worked with the County of Alameda Flood Control District to support a $4.1 million capital project. And the AIR District was listed as a community engagement partner for that project in an amount not to exceed $109,000. Concurrently, the state has also been, since 2017, started a transformative climate community program in which they allocated $140 million in funding statewide for large-scale capital projects. They also had a planning component to that project, and we worked with our partners in West Oakland, the West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project, who wanted to go after one of these TCCP grants for our urban biofilter project. And that was awarded in the amount of $170,000.
You're on the wrong page.
I got ahead of myself here. So both of these...
There.
There you go.
That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Just, good, somebody's following me.
He was just testing us.
Yeah, I was just testing you guys. Okay, so both of these grants, on the TCCP grant, the $170,000 that you see there, the AIR District was the lead agency. It required a local governmental agency to be the lead. And again, for the state, for the natural resource grant, it was the Alameda County Flood Control District that was the lead. Both these grants were awarded. And as a matter of fact, I think the region, we also received three other of the urban greening grants, mostly in Richmond, I believe. And we also received another TCCP grant in East Oakland under the City of Oakland. So we did very well regionally. And now I'm going to go over a little bit about the two grants that this action item is about. So the San Leandro Creek Urban Greenway, Phase 1, this is a... Overall, it's a 6.1-mile connection that links Martin Luther King Regional Park.
That's pretty cool.
In East Oakland to Lake Chabot and the Ridge Trail, Bay Trail to Ridge Trail connection. It goes through areas of deep East Oakland as well as downtown San Leandro and then Oakland Hills area. The phase one is a 1.1-mile segment from the San Leandro Bay to schools in East Oakland, eventually connecting to the East Bay Greenway, which is a totally separate project that's being built, which our Alameda representatives know about that project. So this is funding for a dense urban forest corridor buffer, a bike trail, walking trail. It would provide tree canopy to reduce and mitigate urban heat island, provide safe routes to schools for hikers and bicyclists and children in the neighborhoods, access to jobs and recreation, and enable a reduction of vehicular miles traveled and corresponding greenhouse gas reduction. So again, the AIR District was asked to be a partner in this for community engagement, and the county is also taking action to accept the grant and do a subcontract with the AIR District in amount not to exceed $109,000. In West Oakland, our partners, the West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project, requested that the Air District be the lead agency for a urban, it's called the Marcus Garvey Commons Urban Biofilter Project. So this slide right here highlights a site that's along the 880 freeway between West Oakland and the Port of Oakland, which receives a lot of diesel particulate matter and other pollutants off the freeway. So the project will plan and design an urban biofilter, which is basically a vegetated tree buffer, working with scientists from Cornell University and with Air District, doing before and after measurements to enable this project to happen. And we're also looking that this be done in conjunction with some of our AB 617 work that's concurrent in West Oakland. So this is a recommendation to accept and appropriate the funds from the County of Alameda Flood Control District in amount not to exceed $109,000 for the San Leandro Creek Greenway Project. And then secondly, to accept and appropriate funds from the California Department of Conservation for the State Transformative Climate Community Protection Program in amount not to exceed $170,000. I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Just quickly, this is, I don't remember doing this type of activity before. I think it's wonderful, but I don't remember us doing this.
No, you're right. Chair Wagenknecht, this is going to be a somewhat of a first of its kind type of project, and we think, frankly, this will be a lot of good lessons learned out of this effort, because this will probably be something we end up engaged in the future.
You think it's something 617 is going to move us towards?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Other questions at this point? Director Kaplan.
Thank you very much. I'm glad we have this in front of us. And I would comment that this also ties into one of the requests that we've gotten from the public speakers over and over again, which is for community side mitigations. One of the points that the advocates have been making is that even as we continue the work to reduce the emissions, that for the hardest hit communities, they really also need us to do things that mitigate the emissions, like biofilters, green bands in between industrial uses and residential uses. So I'm actually glad to see this moving forward. And of course, not that anybody doesn't remember my least favorite map of the air pollution cancer risk, but both of these projects are in the heaviest band of air pollution cancer risk. So I will move the item.
Okay. I've got a motion. I got a second. Further comment, Chair Hudson.
On the, particularly the San Leandro Creek Urban Greenway, you're talking about, if I read this correctly, connecting two parks for East Bay Regional Park District on the trail.
I
almost wanted to assume they will hold the maintenance license to take care. Are they contributing any other money to?
Okay, that's excellent question. Well, first of all, the overall vision is 6 miles that will eventually lead. Connect the Martin Luther King shoreline to the the Chabot Regional Park. This is a first phase, so it'll extend from the Martin Luther King shoreline to the edge of Oakland and Alameda by Madison Park Academy School. So that's the first point. Second point is the County Flood District and the City of Oakland are working to develop a potential licensing agreement for maintenance operation going forward. It's still ongoing conversations. It's, you know, as folks know who've been involved in these projects, it's a challenge. So that's ongoing.
I would just say with that smile that the Iron Horse Trail, there's a license agreement with the East Bay Regional Park District. They even call it a park. And
we should ask for that too.
Yeah. Please let me know how that goes, too.
Well, actually, Director Hagerty.
Yeah, that's not a bad question, because ACTC got stuck with the maintenance of the East Bay Bike Project by the City of Oakland. So that's something you need to get hammered out before we actually move forward, because Oakland won't maintain it, and they made ACTC do it.
Yeah.
No, so we're now an agency stuck with the maintenance of a facility in Oakland.
Yeah, no, and we definitely recognize these challenges, as I know the Alameda County Flood Control District, they do have a relationship with East Bay Regional Park on the Alameda Creek, so there is precedence, and that is the intention going forward.
Hmm. It's Alameda County Flood Control. Oh, you guys do it then.
Director Canepa.
Great. This is wonderful that we're doing it in Alameda County. It's a wonderful county with wonderful people. great. Tremendous, tremendous people there. So what is the are we be, I love Scott. He's got his Alameda County shirt jacket on. Amazing.
I'm still trying to get this iPad away.
So have we had any thoughts of doing similar projects outside? I mean, it's great
how this one survives.
In other counties. No, definitely. I mean, and like I said, I mean, these were projects that had a life prior with community groups. So, you know, they saw that the Air District was a willing partner. And I think this will be a good kind of pilot for other localities, other counties to advance similar projects and hopefully work with the Air District as well, especially in the context of AB 617 as we look for mitigation projects. And as I mentioned, there were three other of these grants awarded in Richmond, which the Air District did provide some letters of support for. I think Pogo Park and Richmond Greenway and another location, and there may be one in the South Bay. So definitely we look at this to help spur more of these projects as more statewide funding comes downstream.
Okay. I've got a motion. I don't remember getting the second.
Oh, you got it from Ross.
Okay.
But does the maker of the motion want to add the question about making sure that the maintenance is not being covered by us?
That looking into a long-term maintenance strategy would be included in the work.
Right. Sure. Direction is down.
Yes.
Right.
Good. Sure. Is that acceptable to the seconder? Good. Okay, I've got a motion and a second, and the motion is slightly revised to look at the long-term maintenance and figure that out before we get too involved in this. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? That passes unanimously.
Thank you.
And at this point, as I said, we were just going to go through item six today, so we will continue the other two. Do we have any cards for public comment?
No.
And what's that?
Do we have an iPad?
Yeah. That's so. Unless there's anybody.
So, Mr. Chairman, it's entirely your call, but we as staff had thought that you might be spending more time on those other items beforehand. So, if you want to move them, we can. Or if you want to hear them today, you can as well.
Oh, I just was worried that we had released folks that were. We're in here.
You tell me. Greg, could you still give the presentation?
Yeah, we can do it.
Yeah, we're ready. Mr. Chairman, it's entirely up to you all.
Okay.
As a board, I try to manage it so we don't put too much on your calendar.
Yeah, I know, and I appreciate that. Does everybody have till about 11?
Yes.
Let's continue. Why? I have till 11, so let's do item 7. Overview of the Spare the Air Youth for Environment Sustainability Yes Conference. It's one of my favorite reports of the year anyway.
Okay, David Ralston again. I'm pleased to present two of our staff members who were instrumental in leading our Youth for Environmental and Sustainability Conference for this year, Christina Chu and Raquel Trinidad.
There it is.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having us. I'm really just excited to be a part of this project, and Christina and I were co-leading on behalf of the Air District this really wonderful project now in its fifth year, so we're really excited to be here to talk to you a little bit about it.
The Youth for the Environment and Sustainability Conference, the YES Conference, is part of MTC and the Bay Area Air District Spare the Air Youth Program. The program was established in 2010. Our 2018 YES Conference was its fifth annual conference, and it was held Saturday, February 24th at Laney College in Oakland. We hosted over 1,000 student, teacher, and nonprofit leaders, excuse me. Air District Chair Director Hudson provided keynote and opening remarks. Mayor Libby Schaff was also on hand to greet the students as well. We had over 50 peer-to-peer presentation sessions that were held during the day, and it, And the Air District provided shuttle transportations to areas not serviced by BART. In addition to the 8 shuttle buses the Air District provided, we also hosted 2 buses from Stanislaus County from Modesto that brought in about 125 middle school students who attended the YES conference. Marcy, can you play the video? Mark Jones with MTC created a video on the YES conference.
They weren't moving.
I'm doing a presentation on ocean acidification.
Welcome to Oakland. We say yes. Yes to you being here on your Saturday. You are here because you care about your planet. Because we have a national government right now that is breaking its promises to the Earth, but not you. Our generation must not fail to address these problems head on. And the only way we can do that is if we create diverse and high-performing teams that include everyone.
And my grandfather believed him. He said, Devin, you know what? You can do anything you set your mind to.
So can these kids, and this year's record-breaking crowd of middle and high school kids from all 9 Bay Area counties are dedicated to improving their air, their environment, and the future of their planet. 12-year-old Alyssa Goldfield, in the red jacket, has been coming to the YES Conference every year for the past 4 years. She was quiet and shy, seen here, at the age of 8. This year, she was the proud, excited, and committed keynote junior high speaker, standing before 1,200 young partners.
I think the most important part was probably the final statement, where we were trying to recruit everyone, make everyone excited about the conference, and make people actually want to do something to preserve our beautiful planet.
There were nearly 50 workshops in the day-long event. Topics like teen activism, save the Earth or go to Mars, the fires in Napa and Sonoma, sustainable engineering, sea level rising, and how cities will cope with it.
What do the programmers use to reward the artificial intelligence?
There was plenty of fun, too.
Games are free. They don't cost a dime. Come see us anytime. We're tossing out fossil fuels. We're breaking our oil dependency. We're supporting clean, renewable energy. Step it up, step it high, say bye-bye to the oil guy.
This never ceases to amaze me.
All right, MT!
These are just a few of the decisions and actions others and I are making. Start small, but start. We make decisions daily. Those decisions can either help or hurt the planet. Now here's the real question. What decisions will you make?
In Oakland, Mark Jones reporting. Good.
It has been a pleasure to work on the YES conference. That concludes our presentation, and we're happy to take questions.
Questions? Director Haggerty.
Can you give me a quick breakdown of where these young students are coming from?
Sure. We had a total of 1,230 attendees. 360 came from Alameda County, 235 from Contra Costa County, 20 from Marin and Solano County, 85 from San Francisco, 95 from San Mateo County, 165 from Santa Clara County, and like I mentioned, 125 from Stanislaus County.
Cool. could you do me a favor and break that 300 plus down from Alameda County a little bit more?
Not right now, but I can.
Would you? I'd be very interested in sure. that because I don't know if other directors care, but Alameda County is pretty big, and I'm really specifically interested in the breakdown from my district, to be really honest. I'm being extremely parochial on that, and I'd like to know how many came from my district. But you send them, and I'll figure my district out.
Sure. Okay.
Thanks.
Director Barrett.
Actually, you said Marin and Solano County, but I know at least two came from Petaluma, and yeah. that's in Sonoma County.
Oh, Sonoma County, sorry, 60.
Yeah, okay.
How many from Napa? Did you have any?
We had 20 from Napa.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
And I think that that's totally valid to yeah. know where these yeah. kids are coming because we are trying to do outreach. And, we need to see if it's successful. And I had talked to Raquel earlier about trying to get earlier notification of this happening because it seems to just come right at the time after Christmas when people are just not really tuned in to what they're planning for the next thing to happen. And I want to make sure that we're able to outreach to the students in time. Thank you.
Good. Other questions at this point? Thank you.
That
was very good. Thank you, Chair Hudson, for representing the board for that. Yeah. Good. Thank you. And let's move to number 8, overview of awarded fiscal year fund ending James Carey Smith Community Grant Projects.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Rolston will also cover this item as well.
Thank you. Thank you. David Ralston again, community engagement. I just want to, before I get into this item, give a special thanks out again to our staff, Raquel Trinidad and Christina Chu for the YES Conference, because that's a huge undertaking of effort over the whole, over 9 months of planning, and together they have succeeded in growing that event from, exponentially in the last 4 or 5 years. So
we're going to have to get a Coliseum next time.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so this final item, this is... I want to give an overview of our fiscal year 2018-19 James Carey Smith Community Grant projects that were awarded. So as you may know, this is I think the fourth year of our grant program. The James Carey Smith Community Grant Program was established to fund locally based projects that are designated to reduce and mitigate air pollution impacts while emphasizing community engagement and education. These are rather small grants, up to $25,000. We really want to try and get to local, non-governmental, community-based organizations, increase their capacity and leadership and partnership in these projects. The grants typically are 12 to 15 months in duration. And for the last 2 years, we've been also offering mini grants of $1,000 directly to K through 12 teachers to do air science projects and curricula in their schools. The grant program has four basic areas. The first is education engagement types of projects that will really lead to behavior change and increase the capacity of local organizations to reduce air pollution and greenhouse gases. So, for example, a lot of these are kind of anti-idling campaigns and climate campaigns and so forth. We have a local air pollution impact mitigation. That's kind of a mouthful, but that's basically on-the-ground, hands-on projects such as planting trees that could help mitigate air pollution. And we've had this community science category for the last 2 years to support participatory projects where community members will work with local researchers and do some type of project that will involve air science. And then finally, as I mentioned, the in-classroom small teacher grant program. Last year, the Air District, we had 11 grants, I believe, and the types of projects that we had funded included community air studies, what we call hidden hazard mapping projects, where residents walk their neighborhood, map sources of air pollution, to use that as a basis for further study. We've had a school air sensor curricular project, local traffic reduction emission measurement projects, and schoolyard vegetative buffer projects. So the last year, and I mentioned these because these projects are finishing up right now, we've had projects in San Leandro, East Palo Alto, East Oakland, East San Jose, Richmond, Baby Hunters Point, and Merrick Canyon and Pittsburgh. For this year's proposals, again, we had budgeted, you all budgeted $250,000 for disbursement of the grant project. We did a regional call out for community grant, for the community grant categories in September and October. And we also set aside the funds for the teacher grants. We received at the end, after the deadline was December 1st, we received 15 applications that were deemed complete that we reviewed for a total of over $400,000 from 8 counties. We set up a review team with an outside reviewer, and we reviewed the applications and we awarded the grants to 8 organizations, including 5 teacher grants. And we also, in addition, awarded 3 second phase grants from the prior year's projects that I mentioned that were kind of continuation projects. So this is just an overview of our grant scoring rubric that we use to review the grant projects. And the teacher grant was reviewed slightly differently. And this is kind of hard to read, but this list for the public are the 8 awarded grants. So we had Eco to School in Sonoma County, West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project in West Oakland, St. Vincent Neighborhood in Vallejo, we're doing a citizen science air monitoring project, the Rose Foundation in West Oakland, SEI in San Rafael and Marin, PODER in San Francisco, UC Sonoma Extension in Sonoma and Roseland, and Rooted in Resilience working in East Palo Alto, Marin City, and East Oakland. And I'm really happy that we had, I think, well, one project, UC Sonoma, working in the fire burn area, and 2 other projects in the North Bay where we typically haven't reached before this. So this is a really important step in spreading these grants. And with that, I will take further questions. Thank you.
Questions? I know that I talked to a couple teachers that were applying, and some of them were able to facilitate other ways of getting help from the district. So I appreciate that we've been out in the community, and I do appreciate that the North Bay has come alive with some of this a little bit here too.
Yeah, and thank you for your referrals, by the way.
This is a report.
It's an information item.
Yeah. Any other questions at this point? Director Kaplan.
Do you have a sense of how much work the grant application paperwork involves?
I know we had this question last time. I think on average it probably takes people, 8 to 10 hours, I imagine, to fill it out. I mean, we really took efforts to try and make it as streamlined as possible, knowing that we're working with, nonprofit community groups that don't typically have a lot of capacity. So it's, it's a 4-page grant application. So depending on what type of paperwork they already have, I haven't done any actual calculation, but this time we didn't receive any complaints about the grant application itself, so I guess that's a good sign.
Okay, no, that's definitely progress, and yeah. I would just note that as an area to be thinking about, that with some of the programs, and not necessarily specifically this program in mm-hmm. particular, but with some of the programs, that's a concern that I hear a lot, that especially when it's grants that are smaller amounts or where the applicants are like low-income individual single truck owners or small homeowners, right, as opposed to large institutions, yeah. the barrier of the grant application can be significant. So I just think that's something for us to be aware of in all the various grants.
Well, as we look at AB 617 coming into fruition and the need for us to be out there in communities, simplification will be essential. Director Kim.
Thank you. I know many of our communities are focused in on youth leadership and fostering that. I'd love to get a copy of the Sonoma proposal.
Yeah, it looks pretty good, huh?
It's pretty much near perfect. And if, in fact, that's a template for the kinds of things that our schools can build off of, nothing succeeds like success. So if we can get copies of that, that would be great. Definitely. Sure.
Well, or even just a it would be interesting to get an outline of all of the projects that are being done, and that way you could the community groups could look at that and say, oh, that seems to fit my area, and then they could go delve deeper into that and find out more about that, you know. But that, you're right, 96% on that application is pretty incredible. Other questions at this point?
If I may, we are building up our In Your Community grant webpage, so we do plan on putting past projects and ongoing projects, as you say, with an outline and
good,
you know, information, so it can help other constituents who want to do similar projects. So thank you for that.
Good idea. At this point, that was for information, and we are at the point of committee member comments. Thank you. Okay, the time and place of the next meeting is at the call of the chair, and we are adjourned.